Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Today's video is going to be a little different. This is going to be from a speech from former Sheriff Jack McLam from 1994. Now, I watched two channels that I absolutely love. One, San Joaquin Valley Transparency, and the other one is This is a Public Service. And what they do is when they talk to cops, they ask them if they know the five elements of the First Amendment. The video that I'm about to show you is in part with that, okay? And Foshan always asks them if they don't know it, in good faith, will they try to know it? So if he asks them next time, they will. So Jack gets asked this similar question. And when he says to this man who asks them these certain questions about the amendments and he doesn't know it, not only does he, in good faith, learn it, it actually changes his life and his career. Let's get into it.
That night in Sun City, Arizona, I was talking to about 35 people. They were retirees, wonderful people that were trying to protect their community there in their retirement center in Phoenix, Arizona, or actually Sun City, Arizona. Wonderful group. I was giving a talk on crime prevention in this police uniform. They had heard about my success in Phoenix. I created some crime prevention programs. We had set up over 100 block watches at the time. Block watches were just starting in police work, and they had been working very well. And I had been called out to Sun City to talk to a group of senior citizens about how they could protect themselves in their neighborhoods. I was addressing this group, and in the back of the room, I saw a little man, a little frail old gentleman sleeping. Well, he was just really taking it easy. He looked like he was about 85, 90 years of age, and I thought, doggone it, I don't see any problem with that. Sometimes when I speak, I almost fall asleep, you know? So he was sleeping away, and I finished about an hour program, and I said, are there any questions? And guess what? His little bony arm was the first one to go up. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, he's been asleep the whole time. What could he possibly have as a question? I figured maybe he had to be excused to go to the restroom. He's waving his hand. So I said, yes, sir, do you have a question? And the first word out of his mouth kind of hit me right in the face. He said, now I'm here in police uniform. I'm looking bad. I'm authoritarian. I'm looking like somebody important. And he says to me, Sonny? Sonny. He called me Sonny. And I said, yes, sir. What's your question? And he said, Sonny, do you take an oath? Ooh, I didn't know what was coming. I didn't know. I said, well, of course I take an oath. Every police officer takes an oath. And he said, Sonny, can you tell me what was in that oath? And I thought, this is strange questions. I've never been asked these things before. And I said, well, let me think. Now, I took it when I was in the military, and my police oath was very much the same. It said something about, I swear to protect the Constitution of the United States, defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I swear to protect the rights and the liberties of the people, their person, and their property. Something like that. And he said, Sonny? I said, yes, sir. He says, one more question. And I said, yes, sir, what's the question? I thought, now he's getting down to business. Now he's getting down to business. What's your question? And he says, do you know the law? And I said, I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with this? Am I missing something here? I said, sir, I just talked about the law for an hour. I said, now see, I knew he's sleeping. I knew he's sleeping. I said, I think I know the law. No one knows all the law because it's changing all the time. I said, but ask your question. What's your question? He says, so you know the law. And I say, yeah, sir. What? Give me your question. What do you want to know? And he says, what's the Sixth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? Ooh. I thought for a minute. I had no idea. I had no idea why he was asking such a stupid question. And he says, I said, sir, I don't know. He says, what's the Eighth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? And I'm an Irishman, you see. And when I start getting embarrassed, my face gets red. I mean, really red. And I start sweating. And I started feeling this flush coming over my face. I had these people eating out of the palm of my hand. I mean, it had gone good for an hour, see? And who is this guy? I said, sir, I don't know what the Eighth Amendment to whatever you said. I don't know what you're talking about. He says, what's the Tenth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? What's the Fourth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? What's the Fifth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? Now, I knew that I had the Fourth and Fifth Amendment in the police academy. But I couldn't think of what they were. I was too embarrassed. I was too rattled. And I said, sir, stop, stop. I said, I don't have the answers to your questions. I said, ask me something about what I was talking about tonight. What is with this guy? And then he gave me the coup de grace. He was waiting for this. This was where he was going the whole time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said to me, Sonny, how can you protect my rights and my liberties and the Constitution if you don't even know what they are? How would you have felt? How would you have felt? I was destroyed. This man, this evil, evil entity that Satan must have sent into that meeting. Surely it was the devil sent this man into that meeting. I am somebody. I'm Officer Jack McLam. I'm Officer Friendly across the nation. I am a neat guy. I didn't deserve this, Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not a bad guy. Why did you send this guy in here, Lord? You know, I just knew that the devil had something to do with that. And so I said, sir, I have no idea. Is there any other question? All I could say is there any other questions? And the place was totally silent. And finally, somebody raised their hand and asked me some other questions because they knew this man had drilled a hole and stuffed me in it, you know? I was Mr. Big Shot. I was the best in law enforcement. I was known across this nation. I could touch nothing that didn't work. I mean, everything the Lord let me do worked. I don't know why. I don't know why. I have a high school education. You know, I flunked out of English more than anybody you'll ever know in your life. You know, the teachers voted me the most likely to collapse in life. Self-destruct in life. And there was no reason for me to be doing the things I was doing. I wasn't prepared to do the things I was doing, but everything I touched was working. Now, why did this man come into my life? Well, I left that meeting that night, folks, and I was really in a bad mood. I can't tell you how bad a mood I was in. I was angry at that little old man. I couldn't understand why he would want to do that to me. I was embarrassed. It was terrible. First time I'd been embarrassed in front of a group of people. And I went home fussing and just saying things to myself and talking to the Lord all the way back to Phoenix saying, Lord, I don't understand it. Why did this happen to me? Poor me, poor me. And for one solid month, folks, this old hard-headed Irishman couldn't understand the man's points because I was too mad. I was too upset. I had a bad feeling in my heart for this old gentleman. And my sergeant noticed my change in attitude. He says, Jack, what's the matter? You're always upbeat. You're always happy. You're always go, go, go. You're always on top of it. What's wrong with you? And I told him this story. My sergeant didn't understand it either. He says, why, that cantankerous old man, you know? Well, a month I was praying every night, Lord, take this vengeful heart from me. Take this bad ill will I feel for this old gentleman. Take it away from me. I shouldn't, as a Christian, I shouldn't have these feelings. This is really bothering me. And I didn't know why. I should be able to forget it, but I couldn't forget it. And it took 30 days before I woke up one morning, and it was just like the old mule getting hit over the head with a 2x4. The Lord just cracked me on top of the head, and I woke up in bed one morning, and I had the answer. I had the answer, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the answer. The answer was I was wrong and he was right. I should have known my oath of office. Why was I told to take an oath of office that I knew nothing about? How could I hope to be successful at protecting the Constitution, protecting people's rights and liberties, if I don't even know what it is? And I swore to that oath twice in my lifetime. And I went to work that day and I said, Sergeant, I've got the answer. I said, this man, you know, that I've been fretting about, he was right. We're wrong. We are violating people's rights. We're violating people's liberties. We're doing bad things to people. And my sergeant looked at me and his eyes got big and he said, Jack, settle down. He says, what's the problem? And I said, Sergeant, why did you make me swear an oath to something I knew nothing about? And my fine sergeant, he's a good man, he looked at me funny like and he said, Jack, that's just the way we do it. And I looked back at my sergeant. I said, Sergeant, that's a bad answer. That is a real bad answer. I said, I'm going home tonight, and I'm going to get a copy of the Constitution. I'm going to get a copy of the Bill of Rights. I didn't even know the Bill of Rights was part of the Constitution. I didn't know. You know, what do we know? We just go to government schools. We don't know this stuff. I'm going to get these things. I'm going to read them for the first time. And he says, go, Jack, get, go, do it. I don't care. Do it. And he was a little aggravated with me. He didn't see the point. He hadn't spent 30 days wrestling with this in his bed at night like I had. For some unknown reason. I went to my local library, and it took them 30 minutes to find me a copy of the Constitution. They hadn't been asked for it in so long. I didn't think anything of that at this time, but it amazed me later to think that they had trouble finding a copy of the U.S. Constitution in our library in South Phoenix. And I took it home, folks, and I read it for the first time as an adult. And I'm telling you, I was awestruck. I was amazed at what was in that document. If you have not read those documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and those first 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights, you are in for a shock. You are going to be amazed what is in there. And I was amazed. I was shocked, matter of fact, because I had the proof now that I was a violator. I was a violator. I was a criminal in many cases where I was told to do things for the good of the majority, done things for the good of the whole of society. I had done things to protect the system because, of course, the people don't understand the system, and we have to do things to the people at times to protect the holy, most important system from the people. And now I knew, because I had read these God-inspired documents that our founding fathers had left as a legacy to the American people. And I went out of there that night, and I went back to work, and I said to my sergeant, I took the Constitution and I showed it to my sergeant. I said, Sergeant, do you know what's in here? Do you know what this is? And he looked at it and he says, Jack, it's the Constitution. I said, Sergeant, do you know what's in it? And he says, well, of course I know what's in it. Of course I do. I knew he didn't. I knew he didn't. I said, Sergeant, one question, just one question. Are we supposed to live by our oath of office? And he says, why, of course, McLam, we're all supposed to live by our oath of office. It's very important. And he gave me this little speech about the importance of our oath of office. And I said, that's what I wanted to hear, Sergeant. I'll see you later. And I went out on my beat with my Constitution. There it is here. There is my Constitution that I carried with me on my beat for all of those years. Little pocket Constitution. He told me I could live by my oath of office, and I believed my sergeant would never lie to me. I saw my lieutenant the next few days, and I said, Lieutenant, look at this. What is, do you know what this is? And he says, Jack, it's the Constitution. I said, do you know what's in it, Lieutenant? And he says, why, of course I know what's in it. I knew he didn't. I knew he didn't. I knew it. I saw my captain at the precinct. He's a commander. I said, Commander, look at this. Look what I have. And he looked down and he saw the Constitution. He says, yeah, Jack, it's the Constitution. So what? I said, Captain, do you know what's in it? And he seemed offended. And he says, of course I know what's in it. I said, Captain, let me ask you a question. Are we supposed to live by our oath of office as police officers? And oh, my goodness gracious, you should have seen the reaction of that man. He believed in us upholding our oath of office. He gave me such a speech, it would have brought tears to your eyes about the importance of our oath of office. But like Officer McLam, he didn't know what was in these documents that we swore to in our oath of office. He told me, indeed, McLam, you will live by your oath of office, or you will be in serious problem with this department. I said, amen, Captain. Thank you, Captain. Thank you. And I saluted and I left. I went out on my beat to uphold my oath of office. Armed and now with knowledge, I thought I had a lot, but I had so little. I just read it a couple of times and I'm ready now. I'm ready, folks. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to protect you. Well, my next award tore my heart out. My next award that I received the highest award in the city of Phoenix, matter of fact, throughout the whole state of Arizona in this category, within the next few years, I became the most fired police officer in the history of our state. I went from the most decorated police officer to the most fired police officer in the history of Phoenix, Arizona. And it was all because of a little 85, 90-year-old man that had the nerve to embarrass me to tears in front of a group of people. Out of that, remember the ripples, folks. Remember the ripple effects. You won't know what you've done when you place something in somebody's hand or you place a word on their lips that they will pass on to somebody else. You have no idea how the Lord can use that and multiply it today when people are hungering for knowledge and hungering for the truth like never before that we can think of. I had the truth. I had God. I had a love of my country, and I had the documents that God inspired in the hearts of men and in those constitutional conventions. And I did what my captain and my lieutenant and sergeant told me to do. I upheld my oath of office to the best of my ability, to the supreme laws of our land. And they fired me repeatedly for doing that, folks. I had got so depressed one day, so depressed, because I loved my job. I loved the people and I loved serving the people, but I was now banished almost. I was the worst officer on the department. I was just chastised all the time.
Persecuted all the time because I would go out into the street, and I remember one day when two IRS agents came into my beat area. Chief told us to have you help us take this man's business. do my job.
I'll help you go take that man's business if you'll just show me your paperwork. Yeah. Their eyes got big. They looked at me like they'd just seen a ghost. And they say, "What do you mean you want to see our paperwork? We're IRS agents," and they showed me their badges. "We're from Washington, D.C., and we've got to go take this business over here, and your chief says you're going to go help us." I said, "And I will. I promise you I will if you'll show me your paperwork." And so they fished around and fished around and finally pulled out a crumpled up couple white sheets of paper and said, here's our seizure notices and everything. And I looked over and I said, "Hey, this is a little strange." I said, "This is a little bit perplexing." I said, "You're Harold and you're Jones. And I said, "Your names are at the bottom of these seizure notices." And they said, "Yeah, our name's at the bottom of it. We're here to seize this property for the United States government." I said, "Let me show you something. Let me show you something." Powerful, powerful. God-inspired, powerful. And they said, "What is this? What is this little book?" And I said, "Well, wait a minute, let me show you." I said, read right there. It's in the book." And they said, "What's the book?" I said, "It's the U.S. Constitution." You would have thought that they just saw the cross. Because they shrunk back when I said it was the U.S. Constitution. "Ah! Where did you get that?" I said, "Out of my back pocket." Oh, is there power in this? And they said, "Well, we don't want to hear about the Constitution." I said, "Read that." And they read it. And it said that it would be signed by what? A magistrate, based on probable cause. Signed by a magistrate. And I said, "Who signed these papers?" And they said, "We signed them. Which one of you are the magistrates?" No, there was not a magistrate among us. Powerful. So I put my Constitution in my back pocket and I said, "Listen, you guys, I know you mean well. I know you're doing the best you can do and you got a tough job. But I'm going to tell you this. My sergeant, my lieutenant, my captain have told me that I have to uphold my oath of office, which I took to the American people, not to government. And you took the same oath." And they looked at me. They didn't know what to say. And I said, "You guys, get out of my beat. And don't you come back until you know what your oath of office says, and you are going to support your oath of office just like me." And I sent them out of that beat, and they disappeared, and that man's business was saved that day from an unlawful act, a criminal act on the part of our government. These officers, I'm sure, have been brainwashed just like I was, folks. They're not bad officers, these two guys that come here. They have been trained that what they're doing needs to be done to save America, because they see America declining. The enemy's telling them, well, you got to do these things to the American people to save the nation. And of course, they love America, so they're going to do those things to you and me, because they've been told that if they don't, America will collapse. So they're out there committing criminal acts, committing immoral acts against you, not because they're evil, evil people, most of them, but because they don't know. They just don't know. But praise God, thanks to you folks, just like that 85, 90-year-old man that came to me when I needed to know and gave me the truth. And you have done the same, many of you. And you've caused ripples across America. Now listen to the ripples. Not only did I save people's property, where before I would have gone in and taken it, I would have aided and abetted these criminal acts by the federal officers. I would have probably helped at Waco, because I didn't know. I would have believed what I was told, that these people are evil. We just don't know. Think of the ripples. What happened then, as I became persecuted by my own department, and I began to be chastised, and I was followed. I was assigned a sergeant to follow me night and day for 9 months to try to find some reason to fire me. Off duty, on duty, I had a sergeant assigned to me at that time, making $45,000 a year, and he was assigned to me to try to find some reason to fire me. Because I was doing one thing, I was serving and protecting the people. Even, or rather, let's say, from all criminals, even from those in government. I didn't realize how many people had been hurt and destroyed by our government, by people in this uniform that has sworn to protect them and their families. And I realized then that tyranny cannot come to the door of any American unless it comes in uniform, folks.
So there's a video for you. Now, the original video is an hour and 51 minutes long, so I didn't show you the whole thing. But if you want to listen to it, it will be linked in the description below. And this is also why I titled this video, "This Video Needs to Be Seen by Every Cop in America." Because if they had his thinking, man, they would be totally different. So let me know what you think. Leave me a comment. And we will see y'all in the next one. Take it easy.